Well, through this, that's right, angels in Reno. Did you read that? That's good. That's what we've been talking about this Christmas season, angels in Reno. We've been making the case, well, I've been making the case, and so far after 4 weeks, no one's objected, that that there are angels in Reno, and that they are us. That we have the good news of great joy, the message of Christmas has come down through the ages, and it has come to us. And it is a message that we are called to celebrate, and we are called to share. And in so doing, we have a special message, and that makes us angels, because that's really what the word angel means. It means messenger, essentially. And so all of us who know the good news of Christmas are called to share that with others and so prove to be angels. And there's lots of angels in Reno, and we think it's us. And what we've been doing through the weeks of the Advent season is we've been tracing this good news of great joy that we find in the Christmas story in the Bible. We've traced it all the way down to us, and we've talked about ourselves as the last evangelists. Evangelist, evangel, evangelism, all of this is built on a Greek word that simply means good news, which is what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on that first Christmas. And so we have been looking at how this has progressed. We actually started from the back and we looked at how it has come to us. And we're the last evangelists, perhaps the last evangelists needed for someone else to finally hear the good news of Jesus. And for the light to go on for them, and for them to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, to move from death to life. You or I might be the last evangelist in that lineup of the good news progressing. We've also, though, looked at the scriptures, the Christmas story, and seen how the message has flowed even in the biblical story. And so I talked, actually I guess it was last week, about the third evangelist, what I call the third evangelist. Which were the shepherds. The shepherds heard the story, they responded in faith, they checked it out, and they came back rejoicing and sharing it with others. And so we looked at them as the third evangelist. Then we talked about the second evangelist, which would be the angels, the special messengers from God that came on that special night and proclaimed the message to those shepherds that we remember and share in still today, times like tonight. The second evangelist being the angels. And then this morning, we talked about the first evangelist. And we affirmed together that the first evangelist is the living God. The living God who proclaims his message of good news as part of who he is. It's a message that God has been proclaiming forever. Since there has been time, since there have been people, God has been proclaiming his message of love, his good news of great joy to people. I am here. I am for you. I am with you. I will redeem you. You belong to me, and I will call you back to myself. That message, which is the essential message of Christmas, is not new to Christmas. It's found all throughout the scriptures and all throughout human history. God has been giving that message to us all along. Well, tonight, I want us to look at the evangel. We've looked at the last evangelist, the third evangelist, the second evangelist, the first evangelist. Well, tonight I want us to spend just a few minutes looking at what is called the evangel, which is just a fancy word for good news, or another word that's used for that is gospel. What is this good news that was proclaimed by angels past and present in Bethlehem and in Reno? What is it all about? Now, there are many fine ways that this good news, this evangel, this gospel of Jesus Christ has been expressed. Here is how Paul the Apostle summarizes it in his first letter to the first century church in the large cosmopolitan city of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. This is the way Paul expresses this evangel, this good news, to his friends in the church in Corinth. For me, one of the best ways, one of the most memorable ways that the gospel is proclaimed is in the Christmas story, one that we've been reading week after week here this Christmas season. And it's what I would call the good news in a name. Let's pray, and then I'm going to explore this just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here tonight. We thank you for this amazing, wonderful season of the year. And we thank you for your presence with us and for your good news. Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us ears to hear and hearts to respond as you speak to us tonight through your truth. And I pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, here is how the gospel, the evangel, the good news of Christmas is found in a name. The name announced by the angel. You've heard it already. Thank you, Gracie. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's the gospel in a name. In this baby announcement from God on that first Christmas. You know, baby announcements are important. I dare say that the children who are here tonight, the children that you saw sharing with us tonight, probably most of them had some sort of announcement that went out when they were born, right? Something. Phone calls, emails, letters, cards. Guess what? Somebody's being born. How meaningful were those announcements? I want to compare and contrast for just a second our baby announcements to the baby announcement we hear in the gospel story of Christmas. Okay, how meaningful? Well, our announcements have limited impact, don't they? I mean, they're very, very meaningful to a close-knit group. Very, very meaningful to our friends and to our family, right? The ones that we send the cards to. If we published it in the newspaper, it probably wouldn't be that meaningful to most people. To most of the people in America, our birth announcements probably aren't that big of a deal, right? In one ear, out the other, people wouldn't pay much attention. There's limited meaning. The announcement of Jesus, good news of great joy for all the people. Significant for everyone. Changed the world for everyone in the greatest of ways. The announcement of Jesus' birth had eternal significance. How about family connections that are affirmed when we make birth announcements? Well, in our announcements, it seems to me that the family connections are clearly communicated and have very little mystery. This child belongs in this family. Amen? Amen. You know, our daughter, our youngest, is expecting their first child. Can I share this? I just did. Birth announcement. Our youngest child is having her first baby. No doubt about the family connections. Mom, dad, no questions. Family, our family, Derek's family. Our church family, their church family. I mean, these family connections are pretty clear. When God made his announcement through those angels to those shepherds on that first Christmas, things weren't quite as clear in terms of family connections, and I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. A revelation of who or what he or she will be and will do. How many of your baby announcements that you remember sending out when your children were born, or friends that have sent them to you, how many of them have told you what they were going to be and what they were going to do? Anybody? Kind of cheeky, right? I mean, lots of hopes. Here's the next Nobel Prize winner. Lots of hopes, lots of prayers, but nothing certain about who they will be and what they will do. Not so when the angels announced the birth of Jesus. It wasn't unknown. In fact, as he was being born, we were being told who he is and what he was going to do. And what is communicated is what I would call the evangel, the gospel, the good news in a name. Who is he and what will he do? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's the gospel in a name. The Lord. First of all, the gospel is preeminently about a who. It is the ultimate Lord who has come for us. Jesus is God himself come in human form to accomplish his work on earth for his people. The evangel is essentially a message about a person. It is a who message. It is not a list of whats. This is very important, friends. What we should think, what we might say, what we must do. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Very good. The Christmas evangel is the true story told in its fullness, even as it was beginning to unfold, of who came to be with us now and forever. Jesus, Yahweh God saves, in the flesh, God the Son, Emmanuel. So the good news of Christmas is rock solid because it is about Almighty God, His unshakable will, and His irresistible work, not ours. That's the gospel. Savior, the what of the Christmas good news is salvation. And the evangel is for us not a matter of do. Here's everything you need to do in order to get saved. Here are the spiritual push-ups you need to do. Here's the ladder you need to climb up. That is not the good news of Christmas. That is not the evangel. It is not about do. It is about the reality of done. Done. Jesus taught the truth and commanded obedience with ultimate authority, but that was not primarily why he came down to Bethlehem. We didn't need another good teacher to tell us what is right and good and so remind us again how truly messed up we really are. Jesus provided the ultimate good example of how human beings ought to live in relationship to one another and in relationship to God, but that is not what he came to do primarily. We didn't need another clear reminder of how far short we fall from what is truly good and truly right. So what did Jesus come to do, essentially? He came to die for us on the cross and to be raised from the dead on the third day. He came to save. Jesus is the Savior. So he was announced. And so he did. He accomplished his work for us. We are saved by him. Done. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And then Christ. The how of the angel's message of salvation, the how of the angel's birth announcement, kind of like ours and kind of completely different. The how is relationship. Christ means Messiah, and Messiah was a person. There was a person promised to God's people, the Jews, a person who was going to come and put things right by the power of God. This person, it turns out, was Jesus, and his messianic identity was announced by angels when he was born. This means that the essential dynamic of this good news in action is a relationship with a person. The Christmas evangel is not a new and insightful program of self-help offering steps to better living. It is the new life person himself giving himself to us and invading our lives with his ultimate health and wholeness in a way that makes better living, eternal living in fact, the glorious and certain result. In relationship to him, we ourselves are put right, rescued from death, and emancipated from our sinful selves. And one day, the whole world will be put right as well. That is the good news of Christmas we find in the name spoken by the angels in God's Bethlehem birth announcement. So let me conclude with this. I want to go back to this family connection idea. Our announcements are very clear about family connections. This is the mom. This is the dad. These are the aunts. These are the uncles. This is the family. This is dad's side of the family. This is mom's side of the family. This is where this child belongs. This is who he or she is related to. It's very clear. But God's announcement to those angels, from those angels to those shepherds in the hills outside of Bethlehem, wasn't quite so clear. Jesus' family connections remain mysterious at the time of his birth announcement. Jesus' family connections are to be discovered as he grows up in the world and as we grow up in our faith in him. How is Jesus connected to Mary and Joseph? Well, he is their son, but there is something fundamentally different about Jesus as the son of Mary and the son of Joseph. Something very mysterious still about his ancestry. How is Jesus connected to God? Through his life and the testimony of his words and actions, we discover that he is in fact directly connected, uniquely connected to God the Father. He is the eternal Son of God. What does this mean? Well, we won't be able to figure it all out. After all, this is God we are talking about. If we can't figure out God completely, my theological response to that is, duh. But we can figure out enough for God's purposes. Jesus, the eternal Son, along with a lot of things beyond our comprehension, is something we can understand and believe. He is absolutely qualified to accomplish his work. So, when he is announced as the Lord, Christ, Savior, and as he lives and dies and is raised to life in a way that is clearly consistent with this birth announcement name, we can trust in him to effect our eternal salvation. So finally, here is the last mystery of Jesus' family connections. How is Jesus connected to me? How is Jesus connected to you? Are you part of his perfecting family of life and love eternal? This is the ultimate personal eternal mystery we are discovering. We are in the process of discovery even here tonight. Trust in Jesus Christ. Believe he is who he says he is and who he demonstrated himself to be for you. Say yes to Jesus who has said yes to you. And you will be discovering the most amazing reality ever for yourself. You will be discovering the eternal personal truth that is the good news of Christmas. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Christmas. Good news that you have been announcing since before time began. Good news that you brought to be by coming, Lord Jesus, for us. By coming down and being born in Bethlehem and living and dying and being raised to life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to lean into you, to look to you, to trust in you, and to know that you are putting things right. Oh, it may not be as quickly as we would hope, and it may not be in all of the right ways from our point of view, but help us to trust that you, in fact, are putting things right in our lives and in your world, and to lean into you and serve you and share your love and share the good news that you indeed are Savior, Christ, the Lord. And I pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.